Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, the one we follow like Matthew. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel today, the call of Matthew, the tax collector to be an apostle. Let's pray as we continue to consider the word of God today. We pray, oh Lord, richly bless the preaching, the teaching, the hearing, the receiving of your holy word. May it penetrate our minds and our hearts to remind us of your mercy, your love for us. May it give us power to follow you all our days like Matthew. Be with us now in this time of teaching. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. St. Paul, we often call the apostle of faith. St. Peter at times is called the apostle of hope. St. John is called the apostle of love. So today, what will we call the Apostle Matthew, the author of the first gospel in the New Testament? I suggest we call Matthew the Apostle of Mercy. Matthew, mercy. The two go hand in hand. You cannot think of St. Matthew without thinking of the mercy of our Lord for sinners. Matthew, the Apostle of Mercy. His life is full of mercy. The gospel lesson's all about the mercy of God for a sinner. And today, for a few minutes here, I want us just to contemplate, to meditate on the mercy of our Lord. Never take it for granted. May we meditate, contemplate the mercy of God for sinful people. For me, for you, for all people, for Matthew. 5 things about mercy. All in this gospel lesson of just a few verses. We learn, first of all, that the mercy of our Lord is very, very powerful. The mercy of God changes lives. God's mercy is not a kind word that someone forgets 5 seconds after you say it. God's mercy is not some little act that's a nice thing to do, but no big deal. God's mercy isn't a little bit of compassion, a little bit of pity for someone, and then we move on. God's mercy changes lives, and that's a great impact of this gospel lesson. The change in the life of Matthew, the immediate change in his life. He's behind his booth, greedy. Talk to the kids about it. Jesus says, 2 words, follow me. And the mercy of the Son of God, the mercy of those words, follow me. For this man heard people say, get away from me, leave me, get out. Jesus says, follow me, I want you. Those 2 words have such power of mercy to change his whole life. The first thing Matthew does is he rose up. Very important word. It's the word for resurrection. The mercy of the Lord raises him. He rises up, not just physically, but really the import of the word is he rises up spiritually. He's a new man. He's risen in here. He's come from unbelief to faith, from darkness to light, from hell to heaven, from sinner to saint. From a man of greed to a man of grace. He's a changed man by the mercy of Christ. The stuff we hear here is powerful stuff. The gospel of salvation in Jesus. May it ever change us. I was driving home a couple nights ago from a meeting. It was dark. And guess what was on the road? A dirty old ugly possum. And I am a man of mercy, so I didn't try to hit the possum. But I veered around the possum, and as I kind of slowed down and went around the possum, I had a few choice words for the possum. Get off the road, you ugly animal. You're going to get killed. I don't want to smell you tomorrow morning. Get off the road. Now, is that mercy? Well, some people would interpret that kind of as a picture of God's mercy. Meaning that we are ugly, smelly possums, and God doesn't like us a whole lot, but God just doesn't run us over right now. But you better watch out. You keep screwing around, God's going to run you over. But right now, he'd be a little patient. He doesn't like you a whole lot. That's not the mercy of God. Here would be mercy if I would have stopped and called the possum to me. Come on, possum, 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 possum. And then called him Paul the Possum. Named him after me. And took him home in my car. And showed him my cat and my dog and my wife. Now, that would go over real well, wouldn't it? Here's our new pet. And I bathed the possum. And I combed his fur. Got all the dirt off the possum. fed the possum, let the possum sleep in my own bed. Oh, come on, possum, I wrap you up in the blanket. No such thing would ever happen, except to Matthew and to you and I. Dirty possums. And yet our Lord takes us home to the church, bathes us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with his word and sacrament, will give us his true home in heaven. Mercy's powerful. Realize what God's done for you. Secondly, mercy is public. God doesn't call Matthew in private. God's not ashamed. The Lord's not ashamed to call Matthew as an apostle right out in public with public words, loud words. He doesn't whisper in Matthew's ear, I want you to be a disciple, but I'm ashamed of you because you're a tax collector. I don't want to get in trouble with the Pharisees, so just follow me later, okay? In secret. Doesn't whisper to him, doesn't meet him in a dark alley, be my disciple, but I'm really embarrassed of you, ashamed of you because you're so sinful, you're a tax collector. Right out in public in the middle of the day, when he's behind the booth, there's lots of people around that don't like Matthew a lot, they're having to pay taxes. Right then and there, Jesus says, follow me. And he gets up and follows Christ. It's very visible. It's public. God's a God of mercy. He wants everybody to know about it. He has mercy for sinners. He doesn't hide it. He's not ashamed of you. Are you ashamed of him? He loves you dearly. He wants you his forever. And he calls Matthew with a public word, follow me, and then a meal. He reclines with him and others and has a meal with them. It's all public. And so in the church, the public word goes out, follow Christ, you're forgiven. And then we have a public meal called communion. It's all very public, hiding nothing here. I watched the last few days a series on PBS about the Roosevelts and learned some things I'd never knew about Teddy and FDR. And I heard on the special where Teddy Roosevelt actually one time was giving a speech. And while he was giving a speech, he got shot. He got shot in the chest and he was bleeding. You know what he did? He kept speaking. He said, someone wants me to stop, I'm not going to stop. And he kept on talking with blood coming out of him for another hour before he was taken to the hospital. He wanted to show how tough he is. I'm tough, you're not going to bring me down, I'm tough. And so I think of our Lord who bled for 6 hours from his hands and his head and his back and his feet and wood from his side. A bloody mess on a cross. Public, out in the open. And our Lord's not showing how tough he is. It's easy for God to be tough. He's God. He can squish us all in a moment. He's showing us how tender he is. How merciful he is. That he would die for sinners. The mercy of God's public. Thirdly, the mercy of God creates problems for some people. Whenever you preach and teach mercy, and you talk about mercy, or you show mercy, you're going to get in a little bit of trouble with some people, the legalists. Notice who complains about all this, the Pharisees. You're way too nice. Why are you eating with sinners and tax collectors? You're too soft, Jesus. You're too nice. Where's the law? Where's the discipline? Where's the judgment? You're too kind and gracious. And it's still today. When the church teaches the love of God in Christ to the most wretched, when we're all wretched, and we say, you're forgiven of your sins, all of them washed, you're God's child, and some would rise up, well, where's the law, Pastor? Where's the discipline? Where's the judgment? Come on! What are we teaching these people? Well, what's the Lord teaching Matthew? Love. Yes, the law is important. Yes. Much more so, the love of God is what Matthew learns. The love of God is what saves. You know, I heard where an animal, this is on the national news actually, there was an animal that had brain surgery performed by its owners, I guess. It had a tumor on its head, this animal, and they did surgery for something like $200 or $300 to remove this tumor, and the animal lived. And why it got on the news was what kind of animal it was. You know what kind of animal this was? A goldfish. Someone had a pet goldfish and they spent $200 or more to remove a tumor from its head, and the thing lived. But it was on the news. Why? because of the extravagance. Who would pay $200 to fix a goldfish? Go buy another one for like a buck. It's a goldfish after all. Complain about the extravagance of that. It's just a goldfish. May we never complain about the extravagance of our God. He would hang on a cross and rise again. He would fix our hearts with heart surgery and give us faith by His Spirit. That's extravagant. How could God do it? It's wonderful. We don't dare grumble about it. And don't grumble if your friend gets forgiveness too. Your neighbor gets forgiveness. The criminal gets forgiveness. The guy in jail, the murderer, the thief, the adulterer, they get forgiveness too when they repent. And don't grumble about it. Rejoice in it. Number four, mercy must be our top priority. At the end of the text, Jesus says to the Pharisees who are grumbling, "Go realize what this means and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Powerful words. God's top priority is mercy, not sacrifice. He's saying to the Pharisees and to us, the Pharisees gave sacrifices and sacrifices. They went to the temple all the time and offered their sacrifices and offered their sacrifices and they gave their offerings to God. They tithed and more. They gave everything to God. They were wonderful, sacrificial people. And Christ is saying, I desire mercy and not your sacrifices. And go learn what it means. You can offer all these sacrifices to me and look wonderful. But if you don't show mercy to Matthew and you don't show mercy to sinners, how can you even be mine? And how can you even say you have faith? It's all a show and a hypocrisy to me. Powerful. God loves our worship. God loves our offerings and when they're given in faith and humility and cheerfulness. God wants our praise from our lips. But if we don't go out and be merciful people, it shows that most all this is hypocrisy and a religious show to show how good I am. And God casts it out because of the unbelief and hypocrisy. Be merciful. Worship God, yes, and receive the gifts of God, but then go show mercy to Matthews. Powerful, isn't it? Top priority. Last of all, we learn, main thing we learn, mercy's found in a person. Mercy's found in one person, and that person is Jesus. What also stands out in this short little gospel is how Jesus is the only one who has mercy on Matthew. He's the only one that will have mercy. The Pharisees won't have mercy. As far as we know, the other religious leaders don't have any mercy. And notice, we don't read where the disciples are having mercy either. We don't read where the women that follow Jesus have mercy. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. They're on the sidelines saying, what's he doing? Eating with Matthew. Christ has mercy. And alone has mercy often in this world. We're reminded there's not a lot of mercy in this world. I have a hunch you don't get a lot of mercy at work. You don't show up, you're gone, we'll get somebody else. Not a lot of mercy. Maybe in your own family, maybe not a lot of mercy. Just all law and discipline and you better do what's right or else. And the world of war and evil, not a lot of mercy over there in Iraq and Syria right now. Or in the world or in America. It's a dog-eat-dog world. You want mercy? Come to the house of God and hear about it. For mercy's in Jesus. He has mercy. He died for your sins. He rose again. He forgives you. He loves you. He'll always be merciful to you. He's reconciled you to the Father. You have the love of God. So the world hate me. God loves me. The world cannot stand me. God is reconciled to me. The world doesn't want me. God wants me forever. And that's what counts and that's my life. You know, you've all heard of Steve Jobs, the great man behind Apple, dead now. Brilliant man. He actually was a Lutheran growing up and took confirmation for like a year before he left confirmation saying he didn't believe in God anymore. He gave advice to college students speaking before he died. And this was his advice to college students. He said, you cannot connect the dots to your future. So you have to trust something. Trust your gut. Trust your destiny. Maybe karma. that good advice? All you kids, trust your gut. Trust your destiny, whatever the heck that is. Trust karma. A brilliant man, humanly speaking, but a fool that unless he repented on his last days is in hell. Here's the message of the church. Trust Jesus, not your gut, not karma, not anything else. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Say it with me. Trust Jesus. That's why we have a school, why we have a church, why you're a parent, a grandparent, to teach the little ones to do what? Say it again. Trust Jesus. He doesn't connect the dots to your future. He is your future. He's the way to your future. He's the road to your future. It's wide open. Not little dots. Where am I going? He's the way. One more time. Trust Jesus. Mercy. Matthew, you and I. It is powerful. It is public. It creates some problems. It's the top priority. It's found in a person named Jesus. Little meditation on mercy. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen.